Good morning, church. It is certainly good for us to be here this morning. God again has seen fit for us to rise up this morning and to see another day, a day that we've never seen before, a day that we can use for his glory and his honor. I'd like to extend a hearty welcome to all of our visitors that are here this morning. I want to let you know that you're always an honored guest at the Church of Christ here at Bridgewater. In the news lately, we hear a lot about hate speech. Hate speech that's directed toward politicians and sports stars. Hate speech directed toward one another on the freeways that generates so much violence. This morning, I want to talk about hate speech that God approves. Now, we know that God doesn't approve all hate speech, but there is some hate speech that he approves. This morning I have tagged my lesson, Hate Speech That God Approves. Hate speech is defined by the Cambridge Dictionary as public speech that expresses hate. It encourages violence toward a person or a group based on something such as race, religion, sex, or sexual orientation. The Apostle Paul understood communication, and he knew how important communication was. In Titus 2:8, the Apostle Paul writes, "Sound speech." He knew that was critical for Christians, "that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you." Why did the Apostle Paul, why did he think that our speech was so critical? Why did he think that what we say is so important? He understood that there was always people that are out, people who are against the will of God, people that are of the contrary, that want to trip us up, want to assassinate our character. And what better way to assassinate a person's character by the things that he says? You can condemn him by his talk. Abraham Lincoln, on April 11, 1865, made a speech at the White House. There was a young man listening to what he said. He didn't like what Mr. Lincoln had said. And he made a statement that those around him heard. He said, "Now by God I will put him through." This is the last speech that he will ever make. John Wilkes Booth made good on that promise 3 days later on April 14th at Ford's Theater. Another celebrity, a star, made a very, very vile statement. She said, "Yes, I'm angry. Yes, I'm outraged. I have thought an awful lot about blowing up the White House." Madonna made those statements in the year 2020 because she was upset of the election of the 45th president of the United States. You know, people make those kind of statements without any drawback in conscience. They make those statements as if there's no accountability for what they say. And I'm for sure all of us that are here, we've made statements that we would like to take back. But sometimes when we make statements, it's kind of like squeezing toothpaste out of a tube. Once it's out, it's out. You can't put it back. I don't care how sorry you are. Words are like that too. You can't take them back. Jesus said it like this in Matthew 12:36. Jesus said, "But I say unto you, every idle word that a man will speak, he will give an account for it in the day of judgment." Paul, writing again in Colossians 4:6, he said, "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how to answer every man." James, the half-brother of Jesus, wrote in James 1:26, "If any man among you seem to be religious and bridles not his tongue, this man's religion is vain." Somebody might say, it's not right to say that there are things that God hates. That doesn't seem right to say that God hates things. But the Bible says in Proverbs 6, there are six things the Lord hates. Seven are an abomination to him. Here in Proverbs, we understand that we have some very direct statements from the scripture that provides to us what God hates. Somebody might say, well, God doesn't hate anything. God doesn't hate anything. If we turn over to Proverbs chapter 6, we understand that he hates these things. He hates these things. So let's take a look. Proverbs chapter 6. The Bible says in the verse 16, "These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look," which represents arrogance, which represents haughtiness, which represents a superiority feeling about yourself over other folks. A lying tongue. And we all know too well about politicians who sometimes we feel knowingly lie about what they're going to do and do not provide. Hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. There's always people out there with schemes, trying to take advantage of others. Feet that be swift to running to mischief. A false witness that speaketh lies. And he that soweth discord among brothers. There's always people out to divide and cause confusion. God says, I hate that. I hate those type of behaviors. God doesn't hate people, but he certainly hates behaviors that separate mankind from him. And these things will do it. Now, if God hates these things that I just mentioned, and he does, then it stands to reason he loves just the opposite. In other words, if God hates arrogance, that means he loves humility. If he hates a proud look, superiority, that feeling toward over others, which goes against humility, then that means he loves the eyes and the behavior of humility. If God hates a lying tongue, he loves just the opposite. He loves a tongue of truth and integrity. If God hates those who shed innocent blood, he loves those who defend the innocent. There's no more innocent among us than the unborn. I haven't figured it out in our country why our lawmakers are so quick, some of them, to go the opposite direction of life. God says, I hate that. If he hates the heart of those that devise wicked schemes, how much more does he love those who are about virtue? If God hates the feet that rush to evil, how much does he love the feet that marches toward goodness? I've often said, I've read years ago, that less than 30% of people in Houston attend worship anywhere. God deserves honor. He deserves praise. But yet, less than 30% of people in this city attend worship anywhere. God hates that. He hates that. If he hates false witnesses, how much does God love a true witness, the behavior of a true witness? If he hates those behaviors of those who sow discord, how much does he love those who are about peace and understanding? You know, at the end of the day, at the very end of the day, the proverb writer is asking us, he wants to know, what kind of people are we striving to be? What kind of light are we trying to be in this world, a world that's full of darkness? I know some people care not to hear this kind of talk. You know, many times I heard on TV this last week a statement that I fell in love with. A lady said, some people like good tasting poison as opposed to bad tasting medicine. God's word is not hateful. God's word is not poisonous. But like bad tasting medicine for those who reject it and prefer not to live by it, God's word is still good for the soul. You know, heaven will still be a good place if just a few people make it. Jesus said, just a few will make it. Straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leads to life, but few there be that find it. Heaven is going to be a good place if most people miss it. It's going to be a good place to be. But God is a God of love and long-suffering. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3:9, God is not slack concerning his promises as some men count slackness, but he's long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that we all come to repentance. Jesus said in John 12:48, he who rejects me and receives not my words hath one that rejected him. For the words I have spoken to you, the same will judge you in the last day. God's word is going to be there at the end of time. We're going to face the music at the end of time on how we have conducted ourselves in this life. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 6:9-10, the Apostle Paul penning these words. Paul says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Paul is saying, don't fool yourselves. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor the homosexual, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetousness, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Somebody might say today, that's hate speech. That's considered hate speech. Well, if it's hate speech, it is hate speech that God approves. It is hate speech that God loves, because God hates sin. And sin separates man from God. The inscriptures, the word of God is inspired by him. Paul wrote these words under the inspiration of God. And we know this because the Bible teaches us in 2 Timothy 3:16-17, all scripture is inspired of God and is profitable. God's word is profitable. Profitable for what? It's profitable for doctrine, profitable for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God is thoroughly equipped or furnished, and he's ready for every good work. Too many people have the attitude in our country, I'm going to do what I want to do, like I want to do it, when I want to do it, and no one is going to stop me from living the free life I want to live. But God. But God stops all of us in his due time. Big folks and little folks alike, God stops us all. That's why the Bible says, if God is for us and the world is against us, then who's against us? If God is for us, and I say this to the faint-hearted, because sometimes people feel like they have to go with the flow. I have to go, you know, the crowd is going this way, so I have to go with the crowd. I have to go with the flow. God is not a flow spirit. God stands on things that are just, things that are holy, things that are right. If God be for you and the world is against you, then who's against you? Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:2-5. He said, preach the word. Be instant. What does that mean? Be ready. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when men will not endure sound teaching. God understands that man is inconsistent. God is consistent. For the time will come. He didn't say it might. The time is coming when men will not endure sound teaching. Well, what will they do when they get tired of men preaching the truth? Paul says, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. Most people today like entertainment. Say something that's going to entertain me. Say something that's going to make me feel good. Say something that's exciting. Again, most people prefer good-tasting poison as opposed to bad-tasting medicine that is good for the soul. Is it hate speech this morning? Or being non-inclusive when we speak of the oneness of the church? John 17, 21, Jesus, while praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed that we all be what? One. Not 201 or 301 or 1,001, but he prayed that we be one. Paul wrote in Ephesians 4, 5, there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Is it hateful or non-inclusive when Paul writes in Romans 16, 16, that churches of Christ salute you and leave out practically all other denominations? Denominations that man established while getting away from the scriptures? Let me say this morning, God's word is not going to change. Some people think that somehow that God is going to come around and change up what he says. Maybe he may add a few denominations. Maybe he may lighten up a little bit. God is not going to change what he says. Therefore, we as Christians and all of mankind, we have to comply. I want to take things to a higher level this morning, because we often hear about people that have disdain for others. But I want to take it a little bit higher. Couldn't another form of hate speech, could it be denominational folks who are teaching another gospel that will cost men their souls? Couldn't we consider that hate speech when people say things that God did not say in the Bible, and people follow that and lose their souls in the end? False teachers can't document what they say by the scripture. And if they can't do that, and they say things that God has not said and cause people to lose their souls, can I say that that's another form of hate speech? Our practices this morning in the Lord's church are in alignment with God's word. Are we being mean-spirited, narrow-minded, and hateful when we say these things? When we are adamant about giving God what he has commanded? God does not work in suggestions today. He works in commandments, things that we must do if we want to be saved. The Bible teaches us that we should prove all things. We should hold fast to those things that are good. We have to have book, chapter, and verse for what we believe, or what we do will be in vain. There are certain things that God has prescribed, yes, even for worship. Singing, Ephesians 5, 19, Colossians 3, 16. Praying, Acts chapter 2, verse 42. The Lord's Supper on the first day of the week, 1 Corinthians 11, verses 20 through 30. Teaching, Ephesians 4, 12. Somebody might say, no, wait a minute, hold up. That's kind of narrow. You're being narrow here. I mean, you mean to tell me that we have people in the congregation that's talented enough to play musical instruments? And you're going to stop them from playing musical instruments? Did God call for musical instruments in the New Testament, under the law of Christ? That's the question. Do we have authority? Colossians 3:17, the Bible says, all that you do in word or deed, do all in the name or by the authority of Jesus Christ. We're not under our own authority. We are under the authority of Jesus Christ. You mean to tell me we can't have praise dancers? You mean the elders here won't allow praise dancers? There are young ladies here that are talented in dancing. Why can't we have praise dancing? Did the authority of Christ, that's the question, did it call for praise dancing and worship? That's the question. Many times people want to know, but they form the wrong questions. People teach. I remember when I was growing up, I would visit every now and then on invitation to come to Baptist congregations, and they would call the candidates for baptism down to give your Christian experience. We want you to give your Christian experience. I never understood that. How could an alien sinner give his Christian experience? That's like asking me to give my experience of being president of the United States, and I've never been president. I never understood those things. Those things are away from God. That's away from Christ. No authority for it. Teaching that any church will do just as long as your heart is right. Well, if any church will do, that proves to me, being away from the authority of Christ, that your heart is not right. Your heart is wrong. If just anything will do. Can I say that these misstatements, and some religious people make these statements on purpose, isn't that hate speech, which is able to cause me to lose my soul? When you say those things that God didn't say, if I tell you, you said these things and you didn't say those things, isn't that a form of hate speech? Especially when God can condemn your soul to eternal damnation over things that he didn't say, and we swallow those things down. Isn't that a form of hate speech? 1 Corinthians 9:16, the Apostle Paul, he writes again, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory about. For necessity is laid upon me. Woe to me if I don't teach and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ." Paul understood the responsibility of preaching the gospel. No doubt when Jesus spoke, many felt that it was hate speech. Jesus was raised and he grew up during a very, very revolutionary time. And what he bought was very, very different. No doubt when James, the half-brother of Jesus, spoke, there were those that thought, this is disgusting. Why is he talking like this? How do I know they had that kind of attitude? Because they threw him off the pinnacle of the tabernacle and killed him. And they came down and clubbed him to death. They killed him, a brutal death, James, the half-brother of Jesus, for standing up for the truth. No doubt when Christian, the first Christian martyr, Stephen, preached, there were people that didn't want to hear what he had to say. But he said it. No doubt many considered what he said hate speech. These people are talking all of these things. It's dividing the people. This is hate speech that's just not right. And when we look at Acts chapter 7, grab your Bibles. Let's take a look at Acts chapter 7. You know, when I go to heaven one day, Stephen is one of the people that I want to talk to. I love Stephen. I love his attitude, his adamancy regarding the truth of Jesus Christ. He's speaking to people that caused Jesus to be hung up on the cross. He's addressing them. And no doubt many people today, many people then, would consider what he said hate speech. Listen to these words. Verse 51. "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets have your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before the coming of the just one. I love that. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? Tell me, which one did they not give a hard time for speaking God's truth? Of whom you've been the betrayers of and the murderers of the just one. You did the same thing to Jesus, the just one, that your fathers before you did to the prophets who spoke truth and righteousness. They're consistent. You're consistent with them. Listen to this, verse 54. The Bible says, when they heard these things, listen at the attitude when Stephen was so adamant about what they were doing and the truth that he was speaking. The Bible says, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed on him with their teeth. That's pure hatred there. When somebody gets upset with you enough to gnash on you with their teeth and to be upset, that's pure hatred. The Bible says in verse 57, then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears. We don't want to hear any more of what you got to say. You can stop right now. They run upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city, and they stoned him. They stoned him. And he kneeled down and he cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said these things, he fell asleep. The people there were tired and fed up with what Stephen had to say. Enough already. No doubt when the Apostle Paul and other apostles spoke this same truth, it was considered narrow-minded. It was considered hateful speech. It was considered intimidating. It's considered offensive. But they had the attitude that Paul had in 1 Corinthians 9:16. Yea, woe to me if I don't preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. I like what David wrote in Psalms 119:104. He says, through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. David, understanding the precepts of God and understanding who God was, wanted to align himself with the same mindset that God had. So therefore, he hated every false way. Let me say this morning, with the truth, with God's truth, we cannot afford to be cowardly. We cannot afford to stand up when it's time to stand up. We cannot afford to take a stand, no matter if the world calls it hate speech. And sometimes I think the way our nation is headed, you know, we used to say those prayers. We pray, Father God, that we will live in a nation where we can come and worship without fear of harassment. Our nation is coming toward the point where I'm afraid that those who call themselves progressives, I call them digressives, because what they believe is away from the Word of God. There's nothing progressive about anything that moves away from the will and the hope of heaven, the will of God. Somebody says, what about non-speech? Those who refuse to address evil. We have hate speech, and I call it non-speech. Those who refuse to stand when they need to take a stand. I often think about when Stephen, the first Christian martyr, was stoned. Can visualize it in my mind. Yes, there were those that were throwing stones at him and killing him, but it stands to reason that there were others standing around, and probably in their mindset, you know, they weren't throwing stones themselves, but they thought, you know, this is wrong. This man doesn't deserve this. This is just absolutely wrong. But they refused to stand up and speak out. They refused to say, stop. This man has done nothing wrong. Leave him alone. He's speaking the truth. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. made a statement one day. He said, it may well be that we will have to repent in this generation, not merely for the vitriolic words and the violent actions of the bad people, but for the appalling and deafening silence of the good people, people that know what's wrong, but yet refuse to stand up and say what is right. John writes in Revelation 21:8, he said that the cowardly and the unbelieving would be lost in a devil's hell. We have to take a stand for what is right. This morning, what can we do about hate speech? What can we do about the controlling our tongues and what we say? Well, James, the half-brother of Jesus, wrote us a good prescription for hate speech in James chapter 3. You may want to grab your Bible. We're going to go over these for just a few minutes. James chapter 3. James writes, "My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that ye shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things." I love the humility of James. If you read James, James, the half-brother of Jesus, who grew up in the same home with Jesus, was a very humble man. He said, "We all stumble." James wasn't a Texan because he didn't say y'all. He said, "We all." We all stumble. And sometimes we have people that walk around and act like they can do no wrong. One of the things I've often said that keeps me in check, I get up in the morning, first thing I say, number one, you're not Jesus. Number two, you're not God either. So you can be wrong. So you have to always be open to things. We're not perfection. But as the Apostle Paul, we're striving toward what? We're striving toward perfection. I want to be with God and Jesus one day. I want to be like them, but I recognize that I'm not them. We're capable of making mistakes, capable of making error, so we have to live humbly. But James says in verse 2, "For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man," means he's a righteous man, "able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships, although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires." You know, what's in our minds is what we're going to spew out. You know, I used to say in the computer language, garbage in, garbage out. Our tongue is going to reveal what our thoughts are. It's a very small member of our body, but man, it can cause a lot of problems. The Bible says in verse 5, "Even so the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles." We've had world leaders, the wrong world leaders, get into office and cause a lot of problems just by speaking, just by saying the wrong things. And it says that, "And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire by hell." Massive confusion, massive problems are caused by the tongue. You know, if we watch the news here in Houston, I don't know about our city. I'm just appalled at all the violence that's going on in our city. Many times someone says something that someone doesn't like. Road rage. I've been in Houston 40 years, and I don't think I've ever seen the liking of people getting killed because of road rage. Perhaps maybe saying something that someone else, maybe he's having a bad day or whatever, and changes the course of that family's life forever. "For every kind of beast and bird, a reptile," verse 7, "and creature of the sea is tamed by mankind." And I'm just amazed how man can go into the wild and tame a lion or a big orca, one of those big killer whales. Tongue can tame these creatures. Verse 8, James said, "But no man can tame the tongue. It is He says it is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. I love this scripture. The Bible says, "For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it." That's our jobs as Christians, is to seek peace. We're peaceable people. Jesus was the Prince of Peace. James says in verse 9, "With it we bless our God and Father, and with the tongue we curse men, and we have been made in the similitude of God." How can we who have been made in the similitude of God, the likeness of God, curse men? How can we do that? Verse 10, James says, "Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, this should not be so." We're supposed to know better. We do better. I know sometimes we trip up perhaps sometimes, but James said this shouldn't be so. We should be consistent. No doubt all of us can improve in this area. He goes on in verse 11, he said, "Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter at the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus know, spring yields both salt water and fresh water." You know, you come up on a spring, it doesn't have salt water and fresh water coming out at the same time. It has either one or the other. We either one or the other. Can we bless men with the tongue and then turn around and curse? That's inconsistent. James said that should not be so. The invitation this morning of God, is it hateful or is it narrow? Am I speaking hate speech this morning when I don't include things that God has not included in the invitation to become a Christian? Someone tell me, because we are living in a very, very sensitive world. People are sensitive. Sometimes I feel that people are walking around, you know, just waiting on someone to offend them. I do believe hell will be populated with sensitive people. You can't say anything. You can't even tell them the truth about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You know, they're just sensitive. You're going too far. It's hate speech. If it is hate speech, it's hate speech that God approves. This is the truth, and we have to tell it to be in compliance with God. I want to be in the proper alignment with God. I want to be able to stand in the judgment, and when God asks me, "What did you do? Why did you?" I want to be able to answer Him. I don't want to say, "Well, I did what I thought was right." It's not about you. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about the Word of God and being compliant with it. If we want to be Christians, we have to do that on God's terms, not ours. Not on Joel Osteen's terms. And he looks so good and so articulate when he's saying those things, what he says. He's just made for TV. But what is he saying? The things that he's saying, could I consider what Joel Osteen, T.D. Jakes, all of these other, could I consider that as a Christian who follows the scripture, could I consider what they're saying hate speech? Because what they're saying is against the will of heaven. They have no authority for what they say. They're costing people their souls. 25, 30,000 people probably now listening to Joel Osteen. Isn't what he's saying hateful if it goes away from the grain of God? If you want to be saved, just get yourself in a good Bible-based church. We'll pray for you. And at that point, you're saved. God didn't say that. That's not what the scriptures teach. That could cost me my soul if I believe that. That's a form of Maybe he doesn't know it, but that's a form to me of hate speech. Anything that will allow me to be lost and people are out saying those things, that's hateful. If this is hate speech, it is hate speech that God loves. If you want to come to Christ, there's only one way to come to him. You have to come by hearing the gospel. Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How am I going to know what to follow if I never hear the gospel? Then I have to believe the same. Hebrews 11:6. Have to repent of my sins. Luke 13:3. Jesus said, unless you repent, you'll all likewise perish. That's hateful. That's hate speech. Well, if it is hate speech, it's hate speech that God loves because it come from the mind of God. We must confess Jesus Christ, Matthew 10:32, to be who he says Jesus is, the Son of God. I don't care what they teach in Islam. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then we must be baptized in the watery grave of baptism to rise a new creature in Christ Jesus. This is not hate speech. This is a speech of love. This is what we must do. The things that we must be aware of if we want to miss that place called hell. When Jesus was here, he talked more about hell than he did heaven. He talked about Christ. He wants us to avoid that place. If you're here this morning and you need prayer, you're not a member of the Lord's church, you're a member of the Lord's church and you want to come, you can come now as we together stand and sing the song.